We read God's holy and inspired word tonight in Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, reading the first 22 verses of this chapter. And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts, after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf, tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, and well stricken in age. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, Am I waxed old? After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And the Lord said, Because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood before the Lord. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word tonight. May God bless the reading of his word. I call your attention to verse 19 of this chapter. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the text and the context that we read tonight reveal that Abraham was the intimate friend of God. That is the covenant of grace. God appeared to Abraham that day on the plains of Mamre as Abraham's friend. And what a privilege and what a blessing the covenant of grace is. In the covenant of grace, those who have the privilege of friendship with God know God. Know God as a friend. That is a privilege and a blessing because not everyone knows God. Certainly, the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, by whom Abraham lived, did not have the privilege of knowing God as their friend in the way Abraham knew God. The knowledge of God is the special privilege of God's covenant friends. But the text that we consider tonight also shows us this, that as one who knows God, who lives within the covenant with God, Abraham is a special father. As a believing father, Abraham knows what a blessing his children are, and he knows how to rear his children. That's the text we consider tonight. God approves of Abraham and of his actions as a father. And again, that is a special privilege and blessing. Not every parent in the world knows what to do with their children. And we know that. We can even see this with our own eyes. That there are fathers and mothers in the world who don't know anything about how to rear their sons and their daughters. Parenting, for those who do not know God, isn't a tremendous blessing and privilege, but it's a curse. And it's even something they fear. Perhaps you've heard unbelieving people say something like this: I don't know if I can even bring children into this world. And then if they do bring children into this world, well, they don't know what to do with them. Sometimes they're afraid of their children. They're afraid of how their children are going to turn out. Afraid that their children will be, as the Proverbs say, ashamed to them as father and mother. But things are completely different for Abraham. As a member of God's covenant of grace, as a believer who knows God, he also knows how to command his children. This is what God in the text says about Abraham. God in the text speaks. God in the text approves of Abraham as a father. God says Abraham pleases me, for he commands his children and his whole household, teaching them to keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. And there you see, only those who know God in the covenant can be good, godly parents. Because only those who belong to the covenant will do exactly this: command and teach their children to keep the way of the Lord. For Abraham and those who belong to the covenant, rearing children then is a privilege and a blessing. For in the first place, what is implied here and what we will see here in this text is that Abraham realizes that his children, as well as him, belong to the covenant of God. In the second place, Abraham knows that God will bless his efforts as a parent to rear and to nurture his children. Because what we have here in the text tonight is God's promise to Abraham and to believing fathers and mothers that He will bless them and their children, so that Abraham and believing parents do not have to fear our children are going to turn out poorly. But believing parents believe their children will be blessed by God and will grow and mature spiritually in the faith of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. That blessing comes in the way of parents commanding and teaching their children. And let's consider that this afternoon as we consider the text under the theme, commanding children to keep the way of the Lord. Noticing these three things, the meaning, the possibility, and the blessing. Commanding children to keep the way of the Lord. The text reveals that parents have authority over and above their children. That's revealed, of course, in the fifth commandment, where God speaks really to children. Children, honor thy father and thy mother. Ephesians 6, verse 4. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Children are told to view their parents as over them. Now, this text looks at it from the point of view of the parents. Abraham is told by God, maybe not in a direct way, but that's implied, when God looks upon Abraham and approves the fact that he commands his children, God is teaching parents here, this is your calling, this is your duty. You are to take authority over your children. Believing parents, simple as it may seem, nevertheless, must take this to heart and know this. Unbelievers struggle right here already. They don't know how to view their children. Are they over their children? They don't know. Are they equal with their children? They don't know. Some of them treat their children as if they were equals. And when that happens, we all know that the children do not become equals with their parents, but soon the parents are run by the children. Some do take authority over their children in the world. After all, when the children are young, it seems practical that the parents who are bigger than the children will have authority. And besides that, someone must have authority in the home, so it might as well be the parents. But believers don't think that way. Believers have sure knowledge. Knowledge from the Scripture. And believers sometimes need to tell their children this. As father and mother, we have authority because God gives us authority. Believing parents know that they are in charge exactly because God put them in charge and that they rule and not the children. They have authority and they rule, according to the text, by commanding. This is what God says about Abraham. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. That means two things. A command is, first of all, an order. You will do this and you will not do that. Not a wish. Not a suggestion. Not, please do this. Or, we suggest that you do this. No, an order. I command you to do this. Believing parents need to take that to heart too. There are times when believing parents need to set an example for their children. One of the things that believing parents will do is teach their children how to be polite. By being polite themselves, by saying please sometimes. But we have to understand that sometimes that is altogether inappropriate. There are times when parents are not begging or asking their children, not therefore then saying please, but they are saying to their children, you will do this. And I am ordering you, and you need to see that, because God calls me to command you. Abraham is commended by God exactly for this, that he will order his children. But that's not all. Commanding children is not just a matter of ordering children. It is also a matter of seeing to it that those orders will be followed. Discipline, that means, is part of commanding. There are other passages of Scripture that speak directly to the need to discipline covenant children. This passage of Scripture implies it. It implies it in this way. God here is approving of Abraham, and that Abraham tells his children, you will do this, and you will not do that. But what if they don't listen? Well, it's hard to believe that God would approve of Abraham as a father if Abraham were the type of parent to allow his children to disregard his commands with no consequences. We know that God does not approve of parents who merely speak, who merely order, and don't discipline. We know that from the Bible's record concerning Eli. Perhaps you remember Eli. He was the high priest when Samuel was brought to the temple. Eli was a father who knew how to teach his children. He taught them with words, and no doubt he commanded his children. The Bible even says he rebuked them strongly. He said to his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, don't do that. And likely he also said to them the positive, you should do this. He commanded them. When his boys were disobedient, Eli did not discipline his sons. And God rebuked Eli. There is a painful and sharp disapproval of God expressed in Scripture of Eli's failure to command his children in the sense of commanding them not only with words, but discipline. Abraham then obviously will be the type of father who says to his children, you will do this, and you won't do that, and I will use the rod when appropriate, in a loving and a firm way to discipline you if you don't listen. The world doesn't understand this. Many are not sure if discipline is appropriate. Some will discipline, many won't. They're even horrified by the idea. But for believing parents, again, this is a settled matter. We don't ask, is discipline appropriate? God in His Word tells us, this is your duty. The children might not like it. People who see you discipline your children may disapprove. But this is what God approves of. Father and mother, Abraham and Sarah, who command and discipline. But now, of course, that's not all that there is to this. We must not at all think that the Word of God is saying here, this is a faithful father and a faithful mother, one who orders his children around, or her children, and then who enforces those commands, those orders with discipline. Do some yelling and some spanking and you're a good parent. No, not at all. But here the Word of God explains that this is all done in order to teach children the way of the Lord and to do justice and judgment. Good parenting must be done as instruction in godliness and training in righteousness. All parenting that is done apart from this is bad parenting, even wicked parenting. On the radio lately, I have been hearing advertisements or a promotion of a woman who's called a super nanny. She's supposed to be an expert in child rearing, giving to parents advice on how to make their children behave better and to bring them up better. The world thinks of her as an expert, but I haven't heard her say one thing about keeping the way of the Lord or doing that which is right in God's eyes, which means this supposed super nanny doesn't know anything about rearing children or parenting. This is what makes Abraham a good father. He knows the Lord, and he teaches his children the way of the Lord. Parenting is a great mystery for the world, but not for the believer. Difficult, very difficult. Heartrending, sometimes very, very heartrending. But parenting is not like a difficult math problem that only a few can figure out. But all those who have faith know where to turn to the Word of God for expert, perfect advice for parenting. Command your children, God says. And you even know what to command them. You know how to teach them. Command them to keep my ways, to do justice and judgment. Well, what is that? I hope that I can speak to this congregation, to the parents of this congregation, and be confident that they know their role, that they have authority over their children and are to discipline their children. But do you know how to command your children? Commanding children in the way of the Lord is the way of faith. That's the way of the Lord. Parents must command their children to believe in God. Abraham is a father approved then by God exactly because this. He's a father who teaches his children the Word of God. He sets God before his children. This is my God and this is thy God, children. Believe in Him. That means, of course, that Abraham teaches his children all about God. About God as the Creator. About God as the Redeemer through Jesus Christ. Abraham surely taught his children all about the promises of the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. Abraham is a father approved by God because he not only teaches his children these things, all the truth about God, but he commands his children. He says to them, believe this. Don't take it or leave it. Don't say, maybe I'll believe that later in life, but Abraham sits his children down and he says, this is God, believe in Him. This is the way of the Lord, the way of faith and believing in God. A faithful parent teaches children that. But not that this is all about doctrine. Know the truth and believe it. But do justice and judgment. The Word of God, that means, was taken by Abraham and applied to the lives of his children. Abraham didn't command his children to do whatever he wanted them to do. Abraham used the Bible as the standard. And he said, do justice, children, boys and girls. do justice. That means love what is right, hate what is wrong. That's justice. Love what is right and do it. That's justice. Hate what is wrong and don't do that. Well, what is right and what is wrong? Well, that's judgment. Abraham taught his children, you live in a world filled with sin. Sin which is opposed to God. So Abraham was teaching his children, you must think differently from the people of the world. You must think according to God's Word. And you must follow what God says is right and what God says is wrong. You need to know His commandments. You need to understand and apply those commandments to your lives. That means Abraham went through the law of God with his children. He said, you will keep the way of the Lord by not only believing in Him, but living in holiness and in godliness and obedience to God's commandments. This is faithful parenting, teaching children the way of the Lord. But implied are two things. Implied then, first of all, is that parents, to be like Abraham and Sarah, will teach their children the Word of God and make that the priority of their lives. Examine yourselves as parents. Not that you provide for your children what they need from an earthly point of view, spend time with them in recreation, discipline them. But this comes first and is the center of everything, teaching them the Word of God. But then secondly, in order to be a faithful father, it must be true that Abraham applied the Word of God to his own life and was an example for his children. You see, it's easy for parents to command their children, to speak to them, do this and don't do that, and be very strict for their children. And then lax when it comes to their own life of godliness. That's not commanding children faithfully, though. Because obviously when parents are commanding their children, they're teaching them the authority of God. Your life is under the authority of God, and I command you to keep God's ways. But if a parent doesn't lead by example, then the parent is undoing all of that teaching. Because the parent is saying to the child, then I'm not under authority of the authority of God. And that will spoil all of the instruction given by the parents. Again, it's hard to understand that God would approve of Abraham if Abraham lived that way. God approves of Abraham exactly because of this. He taught his children, you obey the commands of God. But he set the example for his children, I obey the commands of God. This is a high calling. This calling to teach children the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment. Is it possible to be a faithful father, a faithful mother? How is it that Abraham could be faithful and that God can express here in this text, before Isaac has even been born, that God knows Abraham will be a faithful father? The possibility of Abraham being a faithful parent is expressed at the beginning of the text. For I know Him. That's God's Word. I know Him. God knows two things really in the text. God knows Him, that is Abraham personally, and He knows what Abraham will do in the future. God knows that Abraham will command his children, that he will teach them to do justice and judgment. But that second knowledge, the knowledge of what Abraham will do, is not really a special knowledge. That is God's knowledge of everything and of everyone and of every parent and how every parent will conduct themselves as parents. God knows not only what kind of parent Abraham will be in the future, but He knows that of us and of everyone in the world. But this knowledge that God expresses here in the text is a special knowledge. When God says at the beginning of verse 19, "I know him," it's not a knowledge that he applies to everyone in the world. But it is a knowledge of Abraham as his friend, a friend whom God loves. This is God saying, "I know and love Abraham." God does not say this about everyone. If this knowledge were only mere intellectual knowledge in which God was saying, "I know about him," that knowledge applies to everyone. But God does not say about everyone, "I know and love him. I know him in the knowledge of love. I know him in the knowledge of my grace and redemption and salvation." That's what God says about Abraham. That means that this is the knowledge of election. This is the sovereign knowledge of God by which He knows Abraham before the foundation of the world was set. God doesn't come to Abraham at this time and say for the first time, "I know him." But God says from all eternity, "I know Abraham. I know him." Without this, Abraham would be just another unbelieving father. And Sarah would be just another unbelieving mother. God certainly did not decide to know and to love Abraham because he was special in himself. In fact, the opposite is true. Abraham was a sinful man, just as sinful as the people in Sodom and Gomorrah. That means that this knowledge of God, of Abraham, is gracious. God said, "I'm going to know and love Abraham even though he doesn't deserve it." And it's unconditional. God could have looked upon Abraham and said, "I'm going to destroy him with Sodom and Gomorrah because he's sinful, just as those people are." But no, God says, "I'm not going to destroy Abraham. I know him. And in fact, I'm going to tell him what I'm going to do." But while God is about to tell Abraham what he's going to do, for our instruction, he tells us about what a faithful parent Abraham is. And this is how it is possible for Abraham to be a faithful parent. God knows Abraham with a loving, gracious knowledge. God has determined to save Abraham in that grace through Jesus Christ, and to give Abraham the grace of his covenant, so that Abraham gathered out of the world unto God by the power of that sovereign grace of God will be a totally new parent as a believer who knows and loves God. He will command his children, for God knows him. God's grace works in him. But that says something about the children too. In this text, God is not only saying, "I know Abraham. I know him with my loving grace and favor. He will command his children." But notice the text is very definite about the children. the children, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment. God knows Abraham and his children. And that's exactly the beautiful reality of the covenant of grace revealed in Genesis 17, where God said, I'm going to be your God, Abraham, to be a God to you and to your children. And I'm going to gather them into my covenant too. And I'm going to give to them my grace too. And you see, that's important exactly for this reason. Commanding unbelieving children who have received no grace won't do any good. If we brought our children into our homes and they weren't included by God in the covenant of grace, God only included adults in His covenant of grace, then all of the commanding and the instruction in church, in the home, in the Christian school, in Sunday school, it wouldn't do any good. But God has promised, I know thee, and I know thy children, and I'll establish my covenant with them and work my grace in their hearts too. And when you command them, they will believe. And they will grow and they will mature in the faith, and they will love my word, and they will walk in my ways and do justice and judgment. Of course, that's not God's promise to all the children. And He's going to include all of Abraham's children, even we know that's not the case. Or that He's going to include all of the children of believers. But God's special electing grace, in which He says, I know these children, applies only to some of the children of believers. Some are reprobate. Abraham would have to leave that to God. And so do we. God will have mercy on whom He will have mercy, and whom He will, He hardeneth. But thanks be to God for saving us and our children. It's because He knows us and our children that as believers we teach our children, expecting that they will keep the way of the Lord. And if they don't, we'll discipline them. And they'll learn from that discipline, from all of the instruction that they are given. Because by God's grace, that instruction will penetrate their hearts. And the blessing? Well, that's part of the blessing already, isn't it? What a blessing for Abraham. And a blessing that is not experienced anywhere in the world, not in Sodom or Gomorrah. Believing father who teaches his son, corrects him with discipline when he needs that correction. And when he is older from the way of the Lord, he does not depart. What a blessing for Abraham to see Isaac confessing faith, to see Isaac walking a life of obedience before the Lord God, a life of sanctification. In the text, God says, I am going to bring to pass, verse 19, at the end of verse 19 here, I'm going to bring upon Abraham that which the Lord hath spoken of him. And this was part of it, that God would give to Abraham a son, Isaac. That's not all God said about Abraham, is it? He's going to have this son. He's going to have many sons. He's going to have as many children as the stars in the sky and the sand on the sea. He's going to have many children that make up a great nation, and they're going to inhabit the land of Canaan. But that was all just a picture. A picture of salvation. A picture of the coming of Jesus Christ. That was Isaac. Abraham was promised Jesus Christ. He was promised redemption from sin. He was promised righteousness before God. He was promised that He would be the Father of all the faithful. He was promised that God was going to build a church and save His people to Himself in their generations. What a beautiful promise. God will give salvation to believing parents and their children in this way, in the way of Abraham and in the way of parents, commanding their children, disciplining them, giving before them a godly example. God does not promise to bless unfaithful parents with such rich blessings. There be any unfaithful parents in this congregation, let them repent. Let them not mock God or His promise. God's promise is to bless the parents who command their children and lead them in the way of Jesus Christ, disciplining and leave an example for them. May God bless that in this congregation. May God bless you with the ability to see children like Isaac, who confess faith, who love the Lord, and live for the Lord. And may God bless us with all that He has said that He will bring upon us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Father in heaven, on this Father's Day, we rejoice. We have the perfect Father. And we confess that our earthly fathers and mothers are sinful. And we pray that Thou wilt forgive all of those sins. And that Thou wilt yet be pleased to use believing parents for the spiritual good and nourishment of the children of the church. And may we experience all Thy blessings. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.